Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, hey, we're in a little bit of an informal situation here today. Coach Dave is on the road, but I'm not on the road alone. We are in Wheeling, West Virginia, Ogle Bay Park. Some of you would know of Ogle Bay, some of you wouldn't. And we've come through a week where on November 24th, Michelle and I had an anniversary. November 26th, I had a birthday. December 1st, our little granddaughter, I'm sorry, yeah, December 1st, little Mia Pearl had a birthday. And yesterday, December 2nd, am I right? Yeah, December 2nd, our daughter Maggie had a birthday. So we just loaded them all up. I loaded up all the clan. Zach and his wife couldn't make it. And we're in Ogle Bay Park. And look at this picture. I don't know why I can't see my hat here. This one. If I tip it, it'll fall a bit.
Yeah,
Is that something? That is that Ogle Bay Park. It's a resort. If you folks have never been to it, probably most of you haven't. But there's a lot of people here, and we took a little family picture last night.
That's cute.
I didn't realize that my wife had bought them all the same jammies, and so we put them in their jam. We walked throughout the entire lodge. It's a huge, huge lodge. We were looking specifically for a place to jammies and take a good family photo. That's going to become a Christmas photo right there. And is that unbelievable? You would not believe how many people stopped us last night to take pictures of those kids in those pajamas. So God's so good, so faithful. And a couple things here real quick. It's Flea Flicker Friday, but I'm a little bit more prepared than what I would normally be when I'm away like this. My wife got on me. She says, Can't you not do that show? I said, nope. No, I want to do it. It's not that I got to. It's not like I got to go into Kroger's and put milk in the refrigerator. I want to do this. It starts my day off right, and we're excited about it. When I get done, we'll go have a big breakfast and some more. We went swimming last night. We went hot tubbing last night. We went squeezed a little guy into the sauna. Some of them have never been in a sauna before. Rough life the Dobenmeyers live. So I don't know if we've been doing this show a long time. And I just have to say that the last 3 days at least have been some of the most profound shows I think we've ever done. I got more responses from yesterday's show than I think probably any show that we've ever done. I want all of you to know this, that what you saw here yesterday was 100% the Holy Ghost. It was the Holy Spirit. And it's amazing how the Holy Spirit can even fall and convict from hundreds of miles away, isn't it? We have to understand that God lives outside time. There is no time. Where Larry's sitting down there with his truck, it's been in the brink for 9 months or whatever it's been, and where I'm sitting, the Lord is able to see both of us, touch both of us, the same time because he's out. I've used the illustration before. It's like a fish tank. The world that we live in is like a fish tank. And if you think about going and looking at an aquarium and looking at all the fish in the aquarium, you're on the outside of the tank. You're on the outside of the water. Yet you can see everything that's going on in there. You can see what every fish is doing. And as hard as that is for us to understand, that's the world in which we live. We're in a fish tank. And Lord's eye is ever upon us. And he's able to communicate with us through his spirit, which penetrates even through water. And the Holy Spirit is powerful. And a couple emails I got yesterday. It's supposed to be what we're calling them Flea Flicker Fridays, but we started calling it Bible Answer Man. I got some stuff I really want to get off my heart here real quickly. I got some of the most profound. I can't tell you how many calls I got yesterday, and how many emails I got from people saying, "Oh, Coach, man of my word, I'm not a man of my word. I haven't been. Oh, Coach." I got one this morning from Jane. Jane, I don't know Jane. It's not a Jane that I know, who emailed me this morning. Said, "Thank you for yesterday's program. I've been having such a hard time forgiving myself for an abortion I had 40 years ago. I can't forgive myself for it." She said, "Thank you for yesterday's show." And then she asked this. "Would somebody pray for me?" So who's going to pray for Jane right now? Which one of you out there said, "Oh, Coach, I have a heart for that. I'd love to pray for Jane." 40 years. See, that's the great lie of abortion, isn't it? They tell a woman, all your problems are going to go away. They're all going to go away. Let's just get rid of this problem. And I had someone tell me one time that a lady who had an abortion, when she gave birth to her first child, it broke her heart because she realized what she had done to the one she had aborted, and that she you know never ever can forgive herself for doing that. So I responded to Jane, and see if I can find it here real quick what I wrote to her, because I think it's pretty profound. Just a second. Here's what I said. There it is. I said, "Jane, he puts his word above his name. Rest in the assurance that you're forgiven. He said so. He keeps his word. Why? Because his word is above his name. And if his word's no good, his name's no good. Who's going to pray for Jane this morning? Who would like to have the honor of praying? Go ahead.
Lord Heavenly Father, I pray in the name of Jesus for Jane. Lord, I know the pain that she's going through, because unfortunately I made the same decision and you've forgiven me. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that today you guide, you just comfort her and just show her your love, and just have your Holy Spirit just pour over her, Lord. Let her know that you're there. That you're there, that you're going to renew her and put this thing behind her, Lord, and help her move forward. Just heal her today, Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray this. Amen.
Thank you, Brian. You know, the word says that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. It doesn't say everything's going to be good. The Lord can take a horrible, sinful situation and make good out of it. So those of you out there who are struggling with that same sin, you are in fact forgiven. You haven't forgiven yourself, but the Lord's going to do good out of it. Some of you are out on the streets fighting abortion because of what happened to you. Some of you are strategically placed to intercede for others who have. Some of you, your entire life has been shaped by that experience. Let it be good. Turn it into good. It's no different than the Ohio State Buckeyes getting beat by Michigan last week. It's over. That game's over. There's a game tomorrow. Learn what you learned from that. Confess that sin. He's faithful to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, his word's either true or it's not. It's either true or it's not. And you just got to let go and let God. So I want to do this morning, too, and then we can kind of move on if you want to. Whatever. As I said, it's kind of your morning this morning, but because I got so many emails and phone calls, I just couldn't leave it hanging, you know? So I Googled this morning, Spencer, I think it's the third thing down there, promises of God, promises of God. Also, by the way, Spencer, if you could, while you're doing that, Spence, if you could, where did I put that, Lord? The second thing down, Spencer, the second verse, Bible Gate, pull that up for me first. Joe, are you in here?
Yes, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm talking to the guy walking behind me here. Note, I had to find a place here in this hotel. They play music everywhere. So loud, I couldn't hardly hear it. Folks, this is Psalm 138. And it was last night, it was this morning, actually. The Lord prompted me. That I said yesterday that the Lord puts his word above his name. And I'm not sure everybody knew that, thought maybe I was just making that up. And Joe, if you would, read Psalm 138 to us here today. Would you do it?
Yes, sir.
Hey, folks, this is the word of the Lord. Huh? It's either true or it's not. You either believe it or it's not. You don't. Go ahead.
Psalm 138. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee.
Wow, before who? I can preach right there. I can preach right there. Go ahead.
I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth.
Wow.
For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name.
Say that again, Joe.
For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name.
If you can't trust his word, you can't trust his name. If you can't trust a man's word, you cannot trust a man's name. Go ahead, Joe.
In the day when I cried, thou answeredest me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul.
Amen.
All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord.
Amen.
For great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly.
Wow.
But the proud he knoweth afar off.
Wow, 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 wow.
Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies.
Thank you, Lord.
And thine right hand shall save me.
Thank you, Lord.
The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me.
Mm.
Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands.
Ooh, that's a mouthful, isn't it? Huh? Puts his word above his name, because if his word is no good, his name is no good. So if you would for me real quickly, Spencer, go back. Yeah, I looked this up today. I don't know whose the website it is. I don't even care about that. 15 promises of God. I thought it was pretty profound. Let's just scroll down through these things, folks. I'd like there's a whole bunch of them, a whole bunch of these websites. But this one was just pretty good. Number one. I'm sorry, keep going, Spencer. There you go. Here's the 15 promises of God. Can you enlarge that a little bit for so Silver can read it? Silver, I have to have you do it because it's hard to see it on my screen. Can you see it?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Read number one to us, Joe.
God's promises never fail. From Joshua 21:45.
Hang on. Hey, Joe. Holy Spirit just told me somebody needs this. I'm not just doing this to do this. Somebody needs this. Go ahead.
Not one of all the Lord's good promises to Israel failed. Everyone was fulfilled. Item two, God is always good. From Psalm 119:68, you are good and do good. Teach me your statutes.
That's what we're supposed to do, by the way. Go and teach. All I've commanded you, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. Have we done that? No. Go ahead.
Number three, God is always with me. From Joshua 1:9. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
True or false?
True
or false? Folks, you got to settle that. Is that true or is that false? Is he a man like you? In fact, the Bible says he's not a man that he should lie, doesn't it? So the Lord knows that men lie. He ain't one of us. If he says it, you can count on it. You can trust it. Why? because he's a man of his word.
Amen.
Go ahead.
Number four, God is faithful. From Hebrews 10:23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful.
Wow. We talked about that, didn't we? Huh? I'd say you're never more godlike when you're faithful. That's the image of God, isn't it? Faithfulness. Go ahead.
Number five, God is kind and compassionate. From Isaiah 54:10, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love, kindness for you, will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed.
Wow.
The Lord who has compassion on you.
So if you aren't having peace, it ain't because he broke the deal. Huh? All these are two-way deals, folks. We know his deal. We know his promise. He keeping his to the very end. He'll never leave you, never forsake you. You're the one that breaks the covenant, not him. Go ahead, Joe.
Number six, God designed me for a purpose. From Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's handiwork.
Wow.
Created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do.
How convicting is that? Would you read that again, Joe?
Yes, sir.
Huh? Hey, folks, think about your own life and our daily struggles, the things we deal with. Get this perspective of why God made you. Why did he make us, Joe?
For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do.
Not to say good prayers, not to do good dances in the church, not to be a good, anyway, you get what I'm saying. Good works. It's a book of Acts. Go, Joe.
Number seven, God loves me deeply, no matter what. From Romans 8:38-39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen. You can separate from it. You can separate from it, but he ain't withdrawn it. He isn't withdrawn it. Now, the Bible, excuse me. Bible says he will hide his face from you. You get an obedience. Those of you who have disobedient children, you love them. Your love's never ending. But there are times you don't even want to see them. Somebody say amen, so I know I'm not the only one.
Amen.
Amen, Coach.
Amen, Coach.
Amen. I love you, but get the hell out of here. You ever feel like that? Go ahead, Joe.
Number eight, God gives me power for my life. From 2 Timothy 1:7. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid.
Thank you, Lord.
But gives us power, love, and self-discipline.
Amen. Thank you, Timothy. Thank you. Listen, I got to do this. I'm prompted right now. Spencer, right now, quickly, Spencer. Go to my Facebook page. My Facebook page. Go ahead, Joe. Get ready to read the next one then. Can you leave that out there so Joe can read while you're doing that? Yeah.
Number nine, God's presence brings joy.
Thank you. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Go, Joe.
Psalm 16:11. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand.
Amen. Amen. Hang on right there. Can you get that Facebook page up, Spencer? I'll make a point. Shoot it up there for me. Scroll on down, buddy. Right there, right there. Folks, this is the coach at Notre Dame we spoke about yesterday, right? There he is at this press conference at LSU. Can you make that? Larry, can you see that screen? Spencer, would you make it bigger? And I want you to read at the bottom what the coach said. Read at the bottom. Scroll up a little bit, Spencer.
No,
right under his picture, Spencer. Right under his picture. Yeah, right under his picture. Click on that. And Larry, would you read for us what this coach said?
New LSU coach, Brian Kelly,
I came down here because I wanted to be with the best. I wanted to be under the bright lights. I wanted to be on the Broadway stage. That's what my passion is.
Boom. Did I say it or not? Huh? It's always about him. Sacrifice, sacrifice, play hard, play hard. Word, team, adios. I gotta, how many times do you say I gotta go here. I gotta go there. I gotta. Listen, every high school player in America, don't ever go play football for that guy. Don't ever go play. Next one. Where were we, Joe?
I think we're at number 10.
All right.
God will fill me to overflowing with hope. From Romans 15, 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy.
Thank you, Lord.
And peace as you trust in him.
Yeah.
So that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, but Joe, there's a condition in there. Folks, there's a condition. I hate to do this to you. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. If you don't trust in him, you ain't getting joy and peace. I'm just sorry. That's the way this thing works.
Amen.
Go ahead, Joe.
God will fill me to overflowing with hope. Oh, I already did that one. Number 11, God will strengthen and help me, from Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand.
Standing on the promises of God. Right, huh? Folks, we're down to 12 of them. You either believe him or you don't believe him. The problem isn't him. I don't know if it's in there, Joe. Romans 8:28, all things work together for good for those who love the Lord called according to his purpose. So, Lord, thank you for bringing this wicked thing into my life. Make good out of it for me, will you? Oh, it hurts, Lord. Make good out of it. You promised me you'd make good out of it. Go ahead, Joe.
Number 12, God will give you wisdom, from James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you.
And sometimes you're going to ask for that wisdom, and then you're going to make a mess in your pants because your wisdom's going to tell you what you have to do. That's where the rubber meets the road. If you ask God for wisdom in a situation, he's going to give you an answer that you may not like. And so your future depends on your willingness to do that thing he told you to do, even though you don't want to do it. Oh, I could preach there. Go ahead, Joe.
Number 13, God promises you an abundant life. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly.
Amen. It ain't the devil. We know that one, right? You guys, you've been trained on that one. That hireling pastor's come to kill and steal and to destroy, right? But no, we're supposed to have life and life more abundantly. Wow.
Number 14.
Yeah.
God has a plan for my life. From Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good.
Yeah. May not be good. But it's plans for good, right? Because the Bible says greater love is no man than this, than he would lay down his life for his friends. So I may have to go down and throw my body over the barbed wire and sacrifice myself so my grandchildren coming behind me can run over me. And because all things work together for good. Not everything's good, but it all will work good if you're obedient and trusting. Go ahead, Joe.
They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope.
Wow, who wants a future without a hope? Who wants a future without a hope? Faith is the substance of those things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Last one, 15.
Number 15, God can be trusted.
Amen.
From Hebrews 10:23, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise.
Amen. Hey, Joe, here's what the Holy Spirit just said to me as you read that. Let us hold tightly. Uh-oh, you ready? Some of you are holding tightly to the wrong things. I'm going to say it again because that came straight from the Holy Ghost. Some of you need to let go of some things you've been holding. And you're supposed to hold tightly without wavering to the hope. Oh, some of you went right over your head, but some of you went right in your heart.
Amen.
All right, let's open it up. I'm just going to sit back here and enjoy it because I'd had to get this off my heart. I'm so overwhelmed with the goodness of God this morning. Shame on all of us. Shame on all of us. Come on in, Tracy. Then Larry, then Craig.
Hey, I just wanted to say that I love you, Emma. It looked like she was having a little emotional period there earlier. And I just wanted to say I love you, Emma, and hopefully everything goes okay, hon.
Yeah. Hey. How many of you have things in your past which could get undone? Lord, if I could just go back and redo that one. Just can I, Lord? No, you can't. But he forgives it. Move on. Why? All things work together for good. For those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. See, he isn't going to bless just everything you do because it may not be the purpose. You're in a different purpose. You're not doing your job. You're not doing what he asked you to do. And funny, when the Lord does a purpose in your life, sometimes it doesn't feel good. Sometimes it doesn't feel good. Come on in, Craig and Larry. Hey, Craig, many zeros as you want today, buddy. I'm in a good mood.
Well, I'm saving them up, Coach.
Okay.
to speak into Jane, one of the things I loved to do was prison ministry until they shut the prisons down. But when I talked to the guys that were in there, they really didn't know much about God. But I gave them this one thing. I said, understand this about God. God's bigger than sin. Okay? God is bigger than the sin. And one is, obviously it's a repentance thing and it's all that. And two, the other thing I would say to Jane, there's a difference between grief and guilt. Satan uses guilt.
Yes, he does.
Okay? He plays that guilt. All right? So don't let your grief over something turn into guilt, because then Satan will use it to keep you from doing the things that the Lord wants you to do in your life. Okay? That would be the second thing that I would tell her to do that. And even on, to expand upon grief, back in the day, they would wear sackcloth and ashes. Okay? They didn't live in sackcloth and ashes in their grief. So there was a time to grieve, and there's a time to move on. And so I would say that to Jane. And then there's one more concept that she and anybody that's in that position that's done some sort of grievous sin, that maybe, you were drunk and you took somebody's life or whatever like that. One is that baby's in the presence with the Lord right now. But God is a God of relationships. He's a God of restored relationships. He doesn't want to lose two relationships out of this bad event. Okay. He cares about that relationship with you as much as that unborn child. So just keep those in your spirit and your heart and let the word speak to you. And I think God's got great things for you in the future.
Amen on that one, Craig. Amen on that one.
Amen. So,
Spencer, I just sent you something. I just sent you something there, Spencer, if you can get it up in a little video. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah. Hey, Spencer, could you scroll up to the top of this list again, please, real quick?
Well, we got him doing 12 things here. Go ahead.
Okay. There you go. This list is called Promises of God with Scripture. This, I want to bring people's attention to, these are not the promises of God to us. These are verses about the promises.
That's right. That's right.
Now, the promises of God to us are in the Bible. There's dozens and dozens and dozens of them. And every one of them has a condition, that little word if, somewhere in the context of that promise.
Amen.
Every one of them. None of his promises to us of what he'll do for us and all that and everything, none of them comes without a condition.
Amen. Amen. And for those of you who say, well, you can't lose your salvation, I can show you twice. I'm not prepared to. I can show you twice where the scripture says that he will not blot your name out of the book of life, will not blot your name out. So if he tells you he will not blot it out, that must mean that must tell you he blots some names out. Right? That's the only thing. That's the only conclusion I can come to at all. I just want to play this real quick because I think it'd be an encouragement. I said I'd let all of you talk, and then I haven't. This is Evie Swanson sent me this morning. And it was just, it's 9 minutes. I'm not going to play all 9 minutes of it. But he's a man of his word. He's a man of his word. He's a man of his word. We should be too. Go ahead and play that real quick here. Just a few minutes of it.
You're a man of your word, yeah. Yeah. Here we go. This is what it says. All things are possible when we believe. Old chains are breakable when we receive Yahweh. You keep your promises. If you said it, we believe it. If you said it, hey. If you said it, we believe it.
About you, that really ministers to me, because we are so not like him in so many ways. We don't keep our word. Spencer, I want you to look. Hey folks, stay with me, okay? The Holy Spirit's prompting. Just we're gonna take communion here. I don't have any with me, but those of you, maybe walk away with your phone, go get yourself an element, go get you something that you can take communion with us here. Just being by the led by the Lord to be able to do that. Spencer, if you could pull up Habakkuk. Habakkuk. Say what? Yeah. H-A-B-U-K-U-K. Habakkuk. Some people say Habakkuk. I who would name a kid that name anyway? But this really blessed me in has really blessed me in my walk through life. And I believe it will bless you too. I believe it's three. Try to see if it isn't three. Chapter three. Habakkuk chapter three. Maybe it's two. Back Habakkuk. See if it's two. I'm sorry. I should have been. No, I couldn't have been prepared. Yes. Okay. Silver, you ready to go? Because I want to. We forget. We forget the promises of God. We forget them. And so I don't know about you. I have to write things down. I forget. Ever happened to you? This verse right here changed my life. It changed my life. And, well, Joe, just start reading. Folks, this is from the Holy Spirit. There's a boy. This is from the Holy Spirit. Now, you receive it or don't receive it. We'll give you some great coaching here right now. Joe, go ahead and read that for us, if you would.
Habakkuk 2. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved.
Don't get this. Don't miss this picture. He's ticked to God. He's ticked to God. He said, I'm going to go up on that tower and I'm going to give that boy an earful. That's what Habakkuk says. I'm going to go give him an earful. And then he said, I got to get myself ready to see what I'm going to say after he smacks me down, after I'm reproved, right? He said, I'm going to go up there. I'm going to gripe at him. And then I'm going to get ready because I know he's going to smack me. But I'm going to go do it anyway, he says. And watch what Habakkuk does. Go ahead, Joe.
And the Lord answered me and said,
here it is.
Write the vision.
What?
And make it plain upon table. Hey,
Joe, wait a minute. Joe, write a note to yourself. Write a note to yourself. Write a note and stick it on your refrigerator. So when you walk by it every day, you can confess it. You can pray about it. You said, Lord, look. Hey, Lord, I wrote it here. It hadn't happened yet. I'm waiting. When's this going to happen, Lord? Because otherwise, if you don't write a note about it, you ain't going to remember it either. Go ahead, Joe. Do that whole verse again.
Okay. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it.
Ooh, who's going to run with it? God reads it. Sometimes it's you. Sometimes it's the Holy Spirit. You going to hang on to that promise? You going to write that thing down? Say, Lord, this is my son is coming to Christ. That's my vision. I'm writing it down. My husband is going to get saved. I'm writing that thing down, and I'm sticking that on my refrigerator. And every time I open up to eat too much ice cream, I'm going to be reminded, my son's coming to the Lord. That's what I'm doing. Why? Write it down. Ooh. Keep going, Joe.
For the vision is yet an appointed time.
What? What? Say it again, Joe.
For the vision is yet for an appointed time.
Oh, he says it's not time yet. It's not time yet. Write it down so you don't forget it. The Lord's not saying write it down so he doesn't forget it. He isn't going to forget it. He's telling you write it down to be a sense of encouragement to you because it's coming. There's an appointed time. Go, Joe.
But at the end, it shall speak.
Amen.
And not lie.
Amen.
Though it tarry, wait for it.
Wow.
Because it will surely come.
It will surely
it
come.
Will
why? Because he said it will. He said it would, right? He's a man of his word. He said it would. Go ahead.
Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith.
Are you just? Are you just? Then you got to live by faith. And you got to write it down, and you got to confess it, and you got to keep reminding yourself, not him. No, not him. But see, out of the abundance of your mouth, your heart speaks. You write. Are you guys listening to me? You write it down. You write it down. Make a note to it. Boy, I don't know about you. This is so heavy on me. Rochelle, come on in.
Hey, good morning, team. I almost forgot what I was going to say. when it comes, you were talking about keeping your word, and I remembered that in Hebrew, the word Pharaoh, if you break it down in Hebrew, it means evil in the mouth. K, mouth, Ra means evil. Pharaoh has evil in his mouth. So just going totally opposite of what comes out of our Savior's mouth.
Amen. Just the opposite. And we better remember this, my friends. The Lord said that you're going to give an account for every idle word that you spoke. Why is that? Because your words have power. Now, listen, not name it, claim it. Not name it, claim it. But remember, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. The words that you speak show what's in your heart. Right? And you're going to give an account for that. I say to my wife a lot, I love my wife so much. And when things get, she's so emotional. And when things turn the wrong direction, we get a punt blocked or whatever in life, or somebody picks an interception off in life when you weren't expecting it. She has a tendency to get down. I think it's a womanly thing. Would women agree with that? Maybe not. Maybe some of you aren't. But I tell her this. Would you stop praising the devil? Would you stop it already? The car's broken. You're on the side of the road and you are just lamenting how woe is me instead of saying, thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, thank you I even have a car. Thank you, Lord, I didn't wreck the car. Oh, Lord, thank you I didn't get pulled over all those times I was drunk driving. Oh, thank you. It's all a mindset, right? It's all a mindset. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Some of us we know this. Bible tells us we have a wicked heart, right? Our heart is wicked above all things, deceitfully, deceitfully wicked above all things. Who can know it? Who can know it? We know somebody knows it, don't we? We do. Somebody come in here. I'm going to try to be quiet. Yeah, get your communion stuff ready, if you would. In fact, did y'all grab one of those? Let's do that right now, and then we can move on to some maybe more. I don't know what the term is. Lighthearted stuff. Here's what I'm going to do, because I don't have the elements in front of me. I promise you I'll go back, Michelle and I. In fact, maybe I'll get all of our family to do that. One of the nice things here at Ogle Bay Park is we've got our hotel room. We have a buffet breakfast. So maybe I'll get all those little monkeys around the table and we'll all take communion this morning. So we'll do that. But let me lead you in that right now. Those of you who do have that, Lord. Oh, Lord. Thank you for a joyful heart this morning, Lord. Thank you for forgiveness, restoration. Thank you for evidence of things that are not yet seen. Forgive us of our moaning and groaning and lack of faith, lack of trust, projecting our character on you, making us treat you like you're one of us. And you told us, Lord, that on the night that you were betrayed, you took bread and you broke it. And you gave it to your disciples. You said, hey, guys, every time you eat something, remember me. Because the very bread of life is available to you. And do this. Eat this in remembrance of me. Go ahead and eat that. And then he reached over and he grabbed a cup. Yeah, Lord, we know it's probably wine. And he said, this is the cup of that everlasting covenant. A deal that you made that we break. We thank you, Lord, that you are a promise keeper. You are a deal maker and a deal keeper. We thank you, God, that you are a man that you would not lie. And Lord, help us to be more like you. As we drink this blood offering that you shed on our behalf. Go ahead and drink that. Amen. 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 Randy, come on in.
Amen.
Yeah, Coach, on that word idle, the Greek word is argos, Coach. It means inactive. It means lazy. It means not being obedient. And so if you read that in the context Jesus was talking about that, he brought it in to them when he was teaching on blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Coach, I believe this. I believe the idle word he's meaning is when we don't obey God, when we know it and we hear what God's speaking to us and we don't do it, and when we're idle, we're inactive, we don't do it, we don't put our works with our faith, then that's what we're judged for. He's just saying you're going to have, that's not good. Don't, you're going to be judged for not being.
Amen. Amen. So, not being a man of your word.
He's right in with what you're saying, Coach.
Yeah. It's the exact same thing, right? That the second commandment is the second commandment. We're not to take the name of the Lord thy God in vain.
Yeah.
Folks, that doesn't mean cuss. Now we should, of course we shouldn't say that. That's not what it means. You're not to take the name. His name is above his word. I'm sorry, his word's above his name. His name, his word is no good. His name is no good. He said, don't take my name and mess with it. Don't say you're a Christian and not be one. Don't say you have faith and don't exhibit it. Don't do that. Don't use my name for nothing. It's not about cussing. I think more times the Lord's probably looked down. I bet he's not even marking down how many times people use a JC word. I bet he doesn't even mark that down. I wonder how many times he's writing in that book the things that we said we were going to do and we didn't. I wonder how many times he's doing that. I wonder how many times he sees us refuse to give to somebody, even though he told us to do it. I think those are probably the things that he's marking down. He said, don't you call yourself one of my clan when you're acting like that. That's the way I read it. That's the nature I would have if I were him. Thank God I don't have his nature. We're so self. That I want to go smack that Notre Dame coach. I want to go smack him. It's all about him. Pride cometh before a fall. Yes, sir. Yeah, I'll say that, Lord. That boy's in trouble. You mark my word. Now, here's something else I want you to do. God, I'm all over the place. There's a thick anointing on me this morning. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. Didn't mean that. I want all of you right now to, those visions you're going to write down today, what you're going to do, if you haven't already. I want you to put the date on it. Because I want you to come in here and tell us when it came true. Say, Coach, I prayed that right here on, what is this, December 3rd. I prayed that on December 3rd, Coach. December 3rd. And, Coach, it just happened. It might be next week. It might be today. It might be tomorrow. It might be 2 years from now. But you keep that thing on that refrigerator, and you continue to believe it and confess it and trust the Lord that he will finish what he said he would do. It's all about trust. It's not name it, claim it. Lord, make me a millionaire. If you're writing down make me a millionaire, you got the wrong heart already, okay? Come on in, Craig.
Wow, Coach. You were speaking just about this, Coach, and that was one of the things I wanted to talk about earlier, but I just wanted to keep it about Jane.
Go ahead.
I want to read from Isaiah 14, verse 12. It says, how you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations? You have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven.
Amen.
I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit in the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. I saw John Burnett do this once. He wrote out the name Lucifer, and he lined the eyes up. Then he wrote out the name Pride. Then he wrote out the name Sin, and then he put I at the bottom. And if you look at it, and you look at Lucifer, L-U-C, I's right in the middle, F-E-R, Pride, P-R-I-D-E, sin, S-I-N-E. And then he put an I in the middle. And he said, you know what? When you start using that word I, he said, you think of that. And that always stuck with me.
Yes, sir. We got eye trouble. A lot of us got eye trouble, don't we? Me, my, mine, I, eye trouble. Come on in, Rochelle.
Thanks, Coach. I just wanted to comment on what Craig was talking about there. I think the last sentence where it says, I will be higher than the Most High, I will be like the Most High. My point was that he doesn't try to be higher than the Most High. Even Lucifer, with his demented mind, knows he can't be higher than the great Almighty.
Amen. 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 So let's finish. We got about 8 minutes here. 9 minutes. Somebody's calling me and going to knock me off. No, somebody try and call me. I want to hear from somebody what you learned yesterday about being a team player. Anybody have a brief testimony the Lord said to you about that? I'll wait.
Yesterday, I just, it's not what you just specifically asked for about a testimony of an event in my life. Maybe it is, though. I thought about, you know, as parents, especially parents of young children, we propagate so many lies into their lives.
Boy.
For the sake of being like the neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
For the sake of playing the game of the season, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it just started me thinking down that path during that show yesterday.
Yeah, that's true, Larry. We teach them we're Santa Claus. At what point did they say, oh, yeah, Santa Claus, God, yeah. Dad always told me there was a Santa Claus. There's no Santa Claus. God, maybe Dad was pulling my leg on that one, too. Teresa.
Yeah, hi. I didn't teach my kids Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny, but that's not what I was going to talk about. I got knocked off the call yesterday, but on Wednesday, I went to the Ohio Freedom Fighters, and they had Carrie there, and yeah. Dr. Tenpenny, and the lawyers, and a bunch of people. It was supposed to be over at 9:30, went to 11. But anyhow, they talked a lot about teamwork, and don't just sit here and listen to what we're teaching you, but go out and actually put it into action. And basically what you've been saying, get together with groups of people. We have to start connecting. There's more of us than there are of the 150 evil people who are running the world.
Amen.
So pretty much what you've been preaching.
Awesome, Teresa. Just keep going, man. Just keep doing. Keep plowing that row. Just keep plowing that row. Don't look back. Bible says that if you look back, you're not worthy of the kingdom. Plow your row, Rochelle.
I said this yesterday in the after show about you being a good coach, and I wanted to add to that. You had left, but I told this to the queue yesterday. But you had already gone. My youngest daughter, she's 17. She's a senior. She started boys baseball when she was 4 years old. And there was one other girl in boys baseball with her. And like I said, she's a senior now. And her friend from that team is her roommate. She lives with us. Not only do good coaches win games, they build character. And they make better team players. And this is proof right here. These girls have got each other back.
One Amen.
Might not be good at this or not good at that. They pick up each other's slack.
Sort of like a marriage?
Sort of.
Amen. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. You know what America needs? And America needs a football coach as president. America needs a football coach as president, not me. But somebody that understands teamwork. Hey, how many of you want to play football for, what's his name? Mitch McConnell. Huh? I'd like him being your coach. How many, oh my goodness. Huh? How many would like to play for Coach Nancy Pelosi?
Only if she can be the football.
Right? So let there be no doubt that the coach matters. The coach does make a difference. And I appreciate
And I'll be the kicker.
You'll have to earn that job. It'll be a lot of them, right? So So, you know, I don't try to downplay anything. I understand my gifting. I understand. I'm a coach. I understand it. And I'm not going to walk away from that. And sometimes, as I've said, it requires rebuke. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort, isn't it? Folks, that's right out of Timothy. Reprove first, rebuke if they don't pay attention, and then exhort once they start getting it right. That's supposed to be a brother's walk with his brother. Reprove him, train him, show him where he's wrong, rebuke him when he still doesn't do it right, and then what? Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. That's it, dude. That's it. Write that vision. Put it on your refrigerator. That's it. So if I ask you on Monday, how many of you put it on your refrigerator and you didn't, you're going to get rebuked. Come on in, Janine.
Hi, guys. None of us can change the weather, but with our attitude, we can change the atmosphere around us.
Yeah. Amen. And don't you like to be around optimistic people? Don't you hope God, Jesus Christ, and you hang out with him. Do you hope he's got a pickle face? What if he's always going around saying, oh, look at that guy there. Oh, look at that guy. Look at that. What, God, wouldn't that be miserable? Why are we like that? Why are we? Huh? Coach has got, hey, what's the old saying? You got to make chicken salad out of chicken. You know how it works, right? It's coaching. Come on in, Rochelle. Rochelle, I should have just called you because it's a conversation just between me and you today, evidently.
They're very quiet this morning, very subdued. I don't know what you did.
I know what I did. I pierced their heart. That's what I did. Go ahead.
They're thinking about it. I wanted to share this. This is a little embarrassing, but when I was younger, I'm just going to say a friend of mine said this to me. I had a bit of an eating disorder, and I was overweight, and I borrowed her belt, and she said, you're going to stretch out my belt. And so that was not a very nice way of saying I need to watch my weight. But let me tell you something. It was the truth. And I went on a diet after that. Somebody wouldn't have said that to me or done that. And even though it was mean and it hurt, if I wouldn't have heard it, I wouldn't have taken things into my own hands. I heard, oh, no, you're fine. You just have big bones.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You big bones.
It's fine. It's a lie. No, you quit eating ice cream.
Stop. The truth sets us free, doesn't it, Rochelle? It's the truth that sets us free. Tracy, come on in, whatever. Go ahead, Tracy.
Heard. I don't know if this is good or bad that I already have 5 notes written down.
That's good.
To put on my fridge, like how many problems I have going on. But I learned yesterday that I'm in a whole group with the same things going on, and it's just great that we all have each other. And that show the last couple of days has been so emotional. And
yeah, me too.
I just love you all.
Thanks, man. It was heavy on me this morning. I just got a text message. They were sitting in the kitchen or in the dining room waiting for us to eat, so I'm going to have to go here. Ken, come on in. I'll give you the last word here, bud.
Yes, sir. I don't know that coach that changed his job. I haven't not up much into sports, but yesterday, you know, I was kind of thinking. I said, I really don't know the whole story there. But today, I read the caption underneath his picture. I filled the story out a good bit more.
That's all you need to know.
Yeah, I understand it. Yeah, I don't.
Hey,
I understand the disappointment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But how about this? How about this one, Ken? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into the kingdom. You can say you love everybody all you want to. You can say you're a good team player, brother. Not everyone who says it. Why? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Hey, Spencer, put that picture of my grandbabies up there. I'm going to take off right now, and I'm going to go have a, can you believe that? How good is God, huh? Love you. Love you guys. See you Monday. Hey, pray for me. I'll be in. I have to fly to Missouri. Be there this weekend. Pray for that. We have a successful trip out there. God bless y'all. See you.